Hello and welcome to a special episode of The Platform Rules, Digital Transformation for Product Companies. Ahead of the first ever Salesforce Manufacturing Summit coming up on December 1st, we're chatting with special guest Michael Farr, Vice President of Operations and Plant Manager at MSA Safety. Michael, a 40-year manufacturing veteran, discusses how Salesforce and Propel enable visibility and collaboration that deliver the flexibility and responsiveness needed to win in today's market. Take a listen and be sure to register for the Salesforce Manufacturing Summit. It's free to attend, and the link will be in our show notes. Here's your host, Dario Ambrosini, speaking with Michael Farr.
Michael, thank you for joining me today.
Great to be with you, Dario.
So we're going to talk about business transformation and more specifically IT's role in business success as you have market conditions that evolve and customer demands that evolve. And I think you're just uniquely positioned to answer some of these questions because you've seen a lot of this over the course of your career. Let's start with giving the audience a little bit of context. Can you tell us about your role and what you do at MSA Safety?
Sure. As Vice President of Operations and the Plant Manager here in Milpitas, California, overseeing all the aspects of the back-end operation. I've got a classic production control background. I started out in the semiconductor industry, and that helps drive me to pursue just a real good harmony amongst the team members here at MSA Safety.
Okay, so you've been between MSA Safety and previously Sierra Monitor, which was acquired by MSA Safety. Right. You've been in this role almost 40 years, I believe. Seen a lot of changes over that time. It really is amazing, just that span, what you've done to keep Sierra Monitor and now MSA Safety just on the forefront. Tell us some of the big technology shifts that you experienced or market shifts that you experienced over that time.
So the as an instrumentation manufacturer, we're both industrial and building automation. Technology changes have really evolved from MRP only to ERP and now to cloud. That's the stepping stones that I've seen. And I think the big point of that is that how data is gathered and how it's shared existentially. We saw the need to avoid the disunion of data. It drove us to keep at the very forefront of our efforts to keep acquiring technology for our associates.
So let's talk a little bit about that evolution. When you're talking about disunion of data, say during the MRP era, I don't know if I should call it that, but how did you go about doing it at that point?
So it was literally a multi-column sheet of paper and trying to capture all the ins and the outs to share and sneaker netting around the company. Because the MRP was just one dimensional at that point. I was going to finance, I was going to sales and marketing, we're working with purchasing, and just having the accumulating the data, such as planning requirements or activity, trying to keep track of ins and outs, if you will. And then when the ERP came around and it integrated all the aspects of the business, it became more easy to have that data in front of you in one place, but still it required a lot of shuffling into different databases and different tools to accumulate that data. Certainly there wasn't one unifying platform to have the new product development team and the sales and marketing team sharing all this information. And then the cloud enabled us to push a lot of those data sets into an environment where people could get to them from any location. So it was really key to keeping all of that organized. And I think the biggest evolution was how we were able to achieve that ultimate organization, for example, on the Salesforce platform.
Okay. So as you're going through this MRP to ERP to cloud transformation, I mean, it always creates challenges as well, right? It's always easier on paper, or it's always easier said than done, maybe a better way to do it. So what were some of the challenges that you experienced as you went through this transformation over time?
So our business kept growing, or thankfully, revenue and product breadth. The goal was always to keep improving your margins. You know, and as a public company, we were a small public company. We went before public company. We were focused on customers and employees. And then as you become a public company, you throw the public into it with customer and employees. So margins, productivity, quality, always front and center. And we were embracing the available technology. I don't believe we ever could have overcome the challenges if we didn't start embracing that technology. And we always invested in tools, and tools are IT, and it always was the base of everything. So we empowered our employees to do that. And not going too far back, but I remember the first challenge was the Y2K challenge. You know, what did you get? We had an ERP, an MRP system, sort of an ERP that had a two-digit year, and it wouldn't accommodate 2000. So that was a big challenge. And then we embraced the quality management concept when ISO 9001 really came out as the leading basis for having a good quality management system. And then we wanted to get our products compliant so that we could go into different markets for safety and performance. And then establishing supplier relationships and ultimately customer engagement. And all of this started out as really disparate operations, and from paper to Excel to QuickBase to other CRM systems. And it was always, you had to know who the right person to go to get the information so that you could come back and have that piece of data to help you make another decision.
So let's talk about that. I think you just touched a really, really important point. You mentioned your business was growing, your margins were growing as you're investing in these IT solutions. So you're spending money to accelerate the revenue growth, to accelerate the margin growth. And in the end, you talked a little bit more about compliance, supplier relationships, and your customer engagement as well. I mean, is it just really all about not having to track down the right person with the data and always knowing where it is? Is there more to the technology here that helped you?
I think where we are today is that it's everything is so well connected. I can go into Propel's solution and look and see for a particular product what compliance issues there are, what supporting documentation there is. I know quality management system is tied to it. I know that if there's customer-specific actions that we have to relate to that particular product, that the CRM is linking into it, the Salesforce side of it, the accounts, the opportunities are linked together. Where prior to all of this, you literally had to go pull it out, and you probably broke the process at some point if you extracted that data and didn't keep it connected. And I think we're not breaking processes anymore.
All right, that's it's an interesting point. So you're not breaking processes. That's, I think, speaks for itself. But you also talked a little bit about you would go to the quality person. You have multiple different divisions, and you have a process that goes across those divisions, which now is a little bit more unified. So we see more and more that IT needs to be involved with those different business leaders to get a process in place that is going to just be smooth. You know, one, do you see that as well? Do you think that IT and business needs to partner? And two, if they do need to partner, what are some of the best practices that you can share with how a business leader can get what they need out of their IT solutions by partnering with somebody like yourself?
Well, so there's two parts to that. I think, you know, the facets of a business really need to be driven to the return on the investment. I think executive leadership needs to drive that. General leadership needs to execute to that. There needs to be a big macro review of everything, and there needs to be microscopic micro reviews of that process. And the tools need to be connected to achieve it. So when the tools aren't connected, as they weren't even up to 10 years ago, things just get not managed well at all. And it's hard to achieve and those desired outcomes. But when you've got things connected and you have that fundamental communication, the network of the organization just becomes so strong. And so then to the IT side of it, I think the IT is definitely the linchpin of the organization. They are agile. They today's tools are IT, and cloud services allow you for greater flexibility. You know, the recent transition during the pandemic where we have the work model that is hybrid, it's remote, the forte on reliability of the infrastructure, IT has moved from a cost center to the competitive advantage. And then underlying all of this now, more so than ever, I believe, is the security needs to be top of mind. It's always a threat. The bar keeps getting higher and higher, and you can't see the risk coming or even know about them.
Okay, so you touched on something that's near and dear to our heart. You talked about IT moving from a cost center to a competitive advantage. And again, we're seeing more and more of this. We feel that the IT CIO, whoever the leadership is, belongs in on every single strategic business decision because they can impact so much. What do you mean by a competitive advantage from the IT side? Can you point to some specifics of what you're able to do?
You know, it used to be people didn't want to spend the money on it. And they didn't want to embrace it. It was a must have, and it was painful. And you do budget reviews, and it was people. Oh, I don't want to grow my IT, but never. You can't. It is so important. It does have to be involved in every aspect of your business, and you can't run it. You can't run your business if you don't embrace this, and if you miss out on it, you will. Your business will lag and you won't grow. And back to earlier when I talked about empowering our associates, as we grew the company, we didn't grow at the same rate the headcount. Because we kept giving the employees and the associates these great tools to do their job. And so we needed less people to run around and gather the proverbial secretary is not in the room anymore.
Yeah.
You just don't need that.
Okay. So that makes a lot of sense. Then just fast forwarding to the last couple of years with MSA. So global supply chain, your IT structure was largely in place. To your point, you were able to scale revenue and you're using that you're scaling that revenue better yet with less people. And then all of a sudden, it's one big giant supply chain impact, or better yet, multiple supply chain disruptions. How did you manage that, and how did IT help on that front?
Yeah. So first of all, who would have known 2 or 3 years ago now that these challenges would be front and center? And what impressed me early on and to this day is how patient our customers are, and how accepting they were. Are of all these dilemmas. We had 14 months delays in delivering product. We had multiple product lines affected in an ongoing environment. And we had component shortages from raw material voids, resins, molding compounds. But we were able to service our customers. We were able to do that. It cost us a little bit more, but we persevered. Now, we couldn't have done that if we weren't able to collaborate with our vendors and our customers. And we kept them, both sides, in the loop. Our vendors knew what our demands were. They kept us informed as to delays or improvements in situations. We transferred that back to our customers. We couldn't have done it without being connected to all of them. So IT was, again, the backbone of all of it.
Had you or did you during the supply chain disruptions onboard new suppliers remotely, just 100% through the IT solutions that you had in place?
In a couple of cases where And I hate to use this term, but we went to the gray market to get components. And you know, here's a credit card, and we'd pay for it that way instead of a purchase order and qualifying a vendor. We tried to use reputable firms that we had relationships with and that could validate the authenticity of the product we were buying. So we did do a little bit of onboarding of new vendors and in some cases qualifying new customers as well during this time period.
Okay. Something like that, had you done it before, or was that one of those things where you were just thrown into the deep end and had to figure it out?
So we've been burned many years ago by going to the gray market and getting an integrated circuit that looked like it was supposed to react well, but it was a complete copy except for they missed one gate. So we established a quality management objective where we only dealt with reputable OEMs and distributors, and we certainly lowered that bar in the last couple of years. We just had to.
Okay. So let's switch gears now. I want to come back to, we talked about some of that technology evolution, MRP to ERP to cloud. But when you think about the technology innovations that really made your professional life easier, where would you go in terms of the tech solutions that really helped that you think were a game changer for you?
Okay, so here we are over the previous 10, 15 years where we've got a CRM solution, we've got an ERP solution, we knew we needed a PLM solution, and we had a QMS, a quality management system in place. And by literally being able to put those on one platform and integrating all of that effort, that just made our lives so much more simple. And we're able to deliver quality at every point of the way, quality relationships with vendors, quality relationships with customers. We have aftermarket solutions that we can tie back into new product development or escalate through the platform to get engineering involved or customer service or quality management. And it's all connected. And you know, if a salesperson is going to go talk to an account, they can look and see if there's any issues in any aspect of the organization that they need to be sensitive to and to be aware of, so that they're not going to get blindsided when they walk in and offer a new product or offer a solution to the customer.
Okay. So you've got the end-to-end visibility, end-to-end connectivity. Where does it go from here? Where do you see the market evolving from a technology perspective?
So I like what I've started to see companies like Propel doing, and then enabling us OEMs to manage the product, the solution that Propel and Salesforce are offering to fit our flows. Where 15, 20 years ago, if you bought a product, ERP, CRM, whatever, you had to change how your business was reacting and doing things to fit the model that solution thought you should use. But now you can, especially as we're growing our businesses and growing our operations and evolving those, all the tools are evolving with us. And you couldn't do it if it wasn't cloud-based. You couldn't do it if it wasn't on a subscription model. I think that's going to allow the technology to grow, is the increased acceptance of all of that. And then that ultimately allows stronger collaboration between the vendors, your suppliers, your owners, your client. All that interaction is just going to be rock solid.
Do you see an important role here with low code, no code, just the ability for the end user to tailor the system to do without having to go through a developer?
Oh, that you're near and dear to my heart with that question. A few years ago, an industrial engineer who helped get us to where we are on the Salesforce and Propel platform, took another position and another company left. I needed somebody to come in and continue to carry the ball forth because we weren't quite finished developing everything we needed for. And I found this young woman, a recent graduate of San Jose State University. He had a mechanical engineering background, but I know she grasped all the concepts right away. Great interview. I hired her and I threw her into the deep end. And she continued to move the bar and allowed us to grow inside the platform and brought in new applications that we hadn't brought on board yet, but we knew in our master plan we had to get these things out of Excel and out of QuickBase and off paper. And she did it, and she had no background. She wasn't a computer scientist. And it was the help tools, the customer support from Salesforce and Propel, and it was just a lot. It was building blocks. She could just move things around and get it done. And if it didn't quite work right, it was easy to manipulate. And when we were acquired, we switched ERP systems. We went from an older one to an SAP environment, and we had to change some of our key objects inside Propel to link back into SAP. She was able to do that. It just the manipulation and the ability to do that easily and quickly, so important.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. We see that as the future here in terms of just greater and greater degree of flexibility for customers to make these changes on their own. So I'm happy that you had a good experience with that as well.
Yeah.
All right, Michael. Well, look, I appreciate you spending time with us. That's all we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thanks, Dario. Appreciate it. See you.
Thank you for listening to the Platform Rules Digital Transformation for Product Companies. You can listen to this show and more at propelplm.com/podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share with a colleague, leave a review, or email us at podcast@propelplm.com with any feedback or questions. Until next time, Platform Rules.